Heal Country is the theme of this year's NAIDOC Week, a week where we learn and talk about Aboriginal land, waters, sacred sites and Aboriginal cultural heritage. We're focusing on Bruny Island today and farmland that was returned to the local people in 2016. The Indigenous Land and Sea Corporation now runs a merino operation at the 4,100-hectare property. Rodney Dillon is with the Witapoona Aboriginal Corporation. Good afternoon, Rodney. Thanks for joining the Country Hour.
Good afternoon, and thank you too.
Oh, it's great to have you on. I'm quite excited about what we're going to have on the Country Hour today. We're going to talk to you, Rodney Dillon, about Murrayfield, but we've also got a couple of guys that are working down on the Murrayfield site, and they'll be talking with our reporter, our rural reporter down there, David Barnott Clement. We'll get to them in just a moment. But first off, Rodney Dillon, Murrayfield, it's a pretty special property, isn't it?
It's a very special property, yeah. There's a lot of things go with Murrayfield. There's a lot of history on that land and a lot of history around that land as well, you know, and some ancient history there as well. Ancient sites. We've got some rock quarries and some ochre quarries. And there's a lot of things around Murrayfield to go and look at.
Well, whose land is it? What Aboriginal people are from that area?
The local people that live in the area there now are people from around Signet and around the Huon Valley. They're all part of that group. Looking after that land is their job now, to look after that. And that land should never be underestimated on the value to all our people, you know, right back to Truganini and back to her people before her as well. So the land comes with a lot of different things, and the local group that's looking after it today are helping trying to manage and protect it like it has been for thousands of years.
Actually, I think you've said before Truganini was reported to have spent time in this area hunting and fishing and walking across these lands. Can you tell me about that?
Well, I would say that the ochre site would have been her site on there to collect ochre, and I'd say the quarry site was, and we know that there's from that quarry site out at the Mutton Bird Rookery, we found stone tools out there. So, and she lived right around, just her majority of her life, she would have lived around that lake there, just around from where the Mutton Bird Rookery is. So we know that she is around that area, and would have fished off the Cape and Variety Bay and also out off Trumpeter Bay as well. So her people would have lived and fished and hunted and fed there in them bays.
Well, in terms of what she would have been fishing for in that area, I'm assuming a bit of abalone.
Yeah, crayfish and scallops and mussels, werriners.
And eating, I suppose, some of the native animals.
Yeah, there would have been a lot of, you know, there would have been the kangaroos and the bandicoots and other things there on that land, and the possums. So there was plenty of meat and there was plenty of fish. And there's a lot of bush tucker there as well. So they've got a good variety of food on that place. And still today, we've got a lot of that bush food there today. And, you know, we've still got the mutton fish and the crays and that there still. So our people are still living, taking that same food as what we did thousands of years ago. It's taken a little bit different, some of it now, but it's still the same food, and sitting down sharing that same food around the same group on the shore.
Now, Murrayfield was the site of George Augustus Robinson's 1829 mission. Assuming that wouldn't have been a great time on that property.
No, I think that we go around to that area there quite a lot, and we always light fires around there and smoke that area to make sure our old people know we're there. And it's an important site, and we go there a lot to talk to our old people, because it's a pretty sad place for our people. You know, that mentality that George thought he knew better than the people that owned the land for thousands of years. And he thought that he could change them, and they wanted to live their way of life, not his way. And I think that probably still happens a bit today.
How important is it for the Aboriginal community to have Murrayfield as somewhere they can access, they can work, but also access?
Yeah, I think it's that access to land and being able to go there and to be able to to just sit on that land, and even just to look at the other species that's there, the sea eagles and the wedgetails, there's many species of bird life there. There's the quolls. You've got a lot of different things that people can go there and just keep an eye on as well to make sure that we're looking after them.
And this is an area that a lot of different Aboriginal people come to from around the state. Is that right?
People from not only around the state, but people from the main Aboriginals from the mainland come and stay there as well. So I think it's certainly a place where people can go and feel like they can rest up there. It's a good place to go and to there's not many places where you can go and say this is Aboriginal land, and it always will be. That's one of those places you can do that.
And this was given back to the local Aboriginal people, I think, in about 2016, after it was bought by the Indigenous Land and Sea Corporation. Is that how it works?
It was, it's the ILC in the first place that brought it for us, and now it's the ILSC. That was a good thing for them to buy at the time, because it was an important piece of land, and it was an important piece of Aboriginal history there. You know, like you say, Truganini travelled that country. You had George Augustus Robertson's site on the other side, Missionary Bay, that, failed. And for our people to, I wonder what they thought, them old people, when we first went back there onto Missionary Bay, went back to talk to them. So I think that they're very important sites. There's also a bit of white history on the farm as well. You know, you've got the, down the other end, you've got the church, and you've got the pilot station as well. So there's a lot of our history on there, and a bit of other history around the farm as well.
And it's the biggest farm on the island?
Yeah, it is a big farm. It's probably about 45% of the North Island of Broome, so it takes up a fair area. Plus, we've also been working with national parks, and we've got joint management of that Cape area down there as well.
And
so it's quite a big place.
And Rodney Dillon, this farm is operating as quite a successful merino sheep operation?
Very successful, yeah. And it just shows a bit of profit every year, and it's enough to keep the farm going. And it's important for our community to have that farm and to be able to go there and use the farm, because we haven't got any other land down there that we can use. So it's very important.
Okay, Rodney Dillon, if you could stay on the line just while I cross to Murrayfield and Bruny Island. And we've got our rural reporter, David Barnott-Clement, there. He's travelled to Murrayfield today to meet some of the people that are working on the property. He joins us on the line. Good afternoon, David.
Good day, Fiona. How are you going?
Very good, thank you. Now, it was a cool morning, but I'm assuming it's a beautiful day down on Murrayfield at Bruny Island.
Yeah, the views here are just absolutely stunning. So I'm currently up in the wool shed with panoramic views of there's rolling green paddocks, there's sheep, there's rocky headlands and sandy bays. And I'm joined at the window by Indigenous farmhands Cody Hall and Tom Lovell. Tom, you're a relatively new addition here at Murrayfield. How did you get into the farming game?
Good day there, David. As I studied in Huonville, I got the opportunity to join a Pathways program for young Indigenous people. And at the end of the Pathways program, they offered a cert over on Murrayfield. So I snavelled that up and done that, and I ended up here, and I love it here, so yeah.
And you've been finding it good so far?
Yeah, it's awesome.
And Cody, you've just come over from the Northern Territory working cattle.
Yep. So I just moved down about a year ago.
Yep. And before that, you were trained up here at Murrayfield, so you've kind of come full circle.
Yeah, so I come all the way back around. I started at Murrayfield in 2015. Spent 2 years doing my traineeship here, and then got the opportunity to go out and work all around Australia in different jobs, and I've come back.
And we jumped in your ute just before, and you took me for a little bit of the tour of the place, which was great, and you pointed out the fact that there's native vegetation around or in nearly every single paddock. What's the thinking there?
It's good for the sheep. It works in with the business model to be able to have protection for the sheep in those colder times that we get down here on Bruny. And plus, it's just nice to have some, you know, country, bit of bush around, and have all those native animals come back.
Mm, so it's a kind of integrated land management, I suppose.
Yeah.
You've got both there.
Yeah, definitely.
And Tom, how many sheep have you got here on the property?
We've got 9,500. 3,000 of them are breeding ewes. And, yeah, we got a few weathers that go around the nice bush blocks we got there. Yeah.
Mm. And you mentioned before you get a premium for your wool. Why is that?
Yeah, so we with the RWS, we don't mules down here. We, yeah, try to keep it all nice and safe down here. Yeah.
Mm. And the two of you, we're here, it's winter, so things have slowed down a little bit, but it's just the two of you on the farm most of the time?
Yeah, so there's just the two of us and the manager, Todd, and then his partner does help out with a bit of the admin stuff.
How do you all get along?
Yeah, no, it's
yeah,
good.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah, very well.
And what is it like being, Cuddy, I'll turn to you, what is it like being an Indigenous farmer, I suppose, working on the land every single day?
Yeah, well, like you might have heard in that grab earlier, it is, yeah, the be-all and end-all for me. My father and his father have been stockmen, so being able to follow that and, you know, look after the country, because that's what Indigenous culture is all about. Like, the country is the be-all and end-all, you know, we take out of it and we give back to it. So being able to be a part of that process is just, oh, it's incredible.
Mm. And Tom, you mentioned before, you grew up in Huonville. Is that where, you know, your family's been for quite a time, I imagine?
Yeah, we've always been down there, but yeah, we've always been involved in agriculture, horticulture down that way, a lot of apples down that way, but yeah, we've always been around it.
And how have you found being able to come over here to Murrayfield, stay local and work on country?
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah, it's just a beautiful property. I just love being out there and on the good land, on country. Yeah, it's beautiful.
And you've been doing things like cultural burning, you've been going mutton birding. What's that like?
Yeah, we've got a lot of cultural things that happen on the island. We've got... yeah, we go down the rookery when it's time, when they're back. Yeah, it's a bloody pretty good cultural experience for young fellas like myself. And, yeah, we also do the cultural burning. Got a couple mob that come over here and burn it up and, yeah, see them nice new natural grasses come back.
Mm. How has the country responded to that type of management?
The right management, it reacts very well. Yeah, you get to see, you know, you got your nice grass trees that reseed after burn. And, yeah, we got a lot of nice natives coming up.
Mm, and combined, so that native management vegetation actually helps enhance how you do things on the farm.
Yeah, definitely. It's having those revegetated areas that we don't use for grazing all the time almost helps to drought-proof the property. You know, we've got these extra areas of land that if need be we can, you know, stick sheep in and keep the farm going rather than having to destock and, you know, potentially lose profit there.
Yeah, fantastic. Cody Hall, Tom Lovell, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, guys. Just hang in there. Now, Rodney Dillon, sounds like they've got the good end of the stick down at Murrayfield and you're stuck in quarantine up in Hobart.
It does sound like I've got the rough end of it, doesn't it?
I think so. Now, you've actually been away in some different country elsewhere. Where are you able to tell us where you've been?
Yeah, I've been up at Halls Creek and we've been doing work up there with the Halls Creek community. We've been talking to them about diversion for young people, diversion programs, so that the kids don't get stuck in the town. And these diversion programs are run by the local people. For young kids, it's in the town, and they seem to be working really well. So instead of sending kids into a prison system, we're talking about having kids diverted back onto their country with their local traditional people on their land. So it's a... and that's what we're talking about, raising the age of criminal responsibility from 10 to 14 and getting this out so that kids can, they don't have a career in the criminal scene, that they have a career in on their own land.
Okay, fantastic. Rodney Dillon, thanks so much for chatting to us today. And thanks Cody Hall and Tom Lovell and David Barnott-Clement down there at Murrayfield on Bruny Island. I appreciate you all being a part of the Country Hour today.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.